Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hello there, Paul.
Hi, Mark. It's great to be with you today.
Good to see you once again. Hey, this week, I don't know that we've talked about this specifically, but you're going to tell us about the reasons why somebody might want to give from an estate plan and how to do that.
Yeah, so oftentimes we hear messages about giving our tithe. We talk about giving offerings and why those are powerful mechanisms in the kingdom of God and how that allows God an open opportunity to bless us in our daily lives. But I'm not so sure that we've really had a show that's stopped the wheel and talked about what does it mean, both in a practical, maybe some tax issues, but also on a spiritual level of giving out of an estate plan. And so, and what I mean by that is, do we give a specific sum to our church, to other missionaries, to other organizations? So I'm not talking about giving to an individual. I'm not talking about giving to your children. This is very specific giving. In other words, to nonprofits and to fulfill whatever God has placed within your heart for his kingdom purposes.
You're talking about giving from your own estate plan, not from an inheritance that you've received.
Yeah, and that's okay. An accurate statement as
okay.
well. So
okay.
It's not the inheritor. It's not I've received something, so now I'm going to give. That would be great because I think that there is very strong biblical principle that inheritors should be tithing off of that. That's a different topic, really not our focus today. This is about the creating a plan, creating an estate plan, using a will, using a trust, and making very specific kingdom-purposed giving out of that estate plan.
Active giving while you're alive, not so much after you die. Like when I die, I want X amount to go to these different charities.
Well, that is what we're talking about, is
okay.
that specific
okay.
topic.
Okay.
Now, we're going to, because of the topic, we will talk a little bit about what does it mean and what are the differences between giving in our daily lives and while we're alive, mm. and how does that differ from giving when we pass away
okay.
and using our estate plan, using our will, using our trust in order to make a kingdom-purposed gift to a nonprofit, whether it's churches, whether it's organizations, whether it's missionaries, or whatever other organization you support.
Okay. Well, I assume there's lots of tax benefits then to giving from an estate plan.
Well, there can be. And so so out of the tax realm, number one is that to take advantage of a tax issue, you need to be in a taxable estate. So in Washington state, you need to have more than $2.2 million. So if you have under that amount, then there is no estate tax advantage. Now, because we're not required to file an estate tax until you reach $2 million in Washington. Now, on the federal level, that's at $11.5 million. So you don't need to be worrying about estate tax purposes unless you have more than $11.5 million for federal. So again, those two sums is that if you are near $2 million, then estate tax issues could be relevant. On a federal level, 11.5. And the reason that they're different is that there's two different jurisdictions. There's two different sovereigns. And so, therefore, Washington State can make their own estate tax plan. And indeed, they have. I think we're one of six different states that have an estate tax. On the federal level, they've always had an estate tax, well, for quite some time. And that is a very high tax rate. It's 40%. If you have more than $11.5 million. Mm. So in the estate tax realm, there could be a huge benefit if indeed you need to consider this. So it is actually a one-for-one giving. Unlike if I give during my lifetime and I were to tithe to my church, it's really not a dollar-for-dollar issue when I take that off of my taxes. So in other words, if I itemize my taxes on my 1040 on a given year, it's actually not a dollar-for-dollar benefit that reduces my income. It's a percentage based upon my taxable rate. However, in estate tax land, when you die, this is actually a dollar-for-dollar gift, and so it actually makes a huge difference. Mm. So if I had $3 million, then I would be exposed to an estate tax in Washington. So let's assume I'm single and I have died, and that's how much I have available. If you're married, then it goes up to about $4.4 million, just under that. So if I pass away, I would be exposed to a 15% tax on everything above $2.2 million. Mm-hmm. Well, $800,000, I don't know what that is, $120,000. So because I had $800,000 too much, Washington State is going to come in and say, we would like our 15%. So now I can set up an estate tax to where if I am generously minded and I wanted to assist nonprofits, again, it just has to meet the IRS definition of being a nonprofit organization. We typically think of those as 501c3s, although there are other options beyond the 501c3. So let's just say it's a church, it's a missions organization, it's this radio station. There are ministers on this radio station. So there's a huge array of opportunities to give to God's work, correct?
Yes.
And so if I was generously minded and I said, I want to give $500,000 and it's to these 10 ministries, they each get $50,000. Well, what I've done is I've taken that $500,000 and Washington State says, well, because you were generous and because you supported public purposes, then we are not going to count that in our tax scheme.
So it is tax deductible, that $800,000. What if you gave away, let's say you said, everything I have above $2.2 million,
exactly,
let's give it away.
Yeah, and that is one option to create a zero tax estate plan. Mm. Now, there's other more complicated ways that we could do that. It's called a TCLAT, a testamentary charitable lead annuity trust. And so there's ways that we could take the income and give it to charities for a period of years. And then when the charities have all the income after X many years, then the principal amount. So in my example, it was that 800,000. Mm-hmm. So we have 3 million. The limit is 2.2. Then the principal, that $800,000, after being generous with the income, could come back to our heirs. And so they would get a second inheritance. There's multiple ways to fully eliminate an estate tax. So number one, if that is what your intent is and you have been blessed financially, and then my voice is, well, we got to sit down and have a conversation. Because remember, in everything we talk about, getting good input and good estate planning advice, whether it's from me or whether it's from another individual who does this specifically, then that is what we need. We need to have a conversation and discover these tools that match up with your vision and your heart. So whether it is giving a portion of it away, whether it's what you talked about, Mark, which is I have $800,000 and I don't want any taxes, so let me give everything above the tax limit away, or whether it's something that says I want to do some income streams for charities, but then I want the principal to come back to my beneficiaries. There's so many different ways to be generous and simultaneously not pay taxes, because the government is about wanting to support society. And a part of why we have a tax-deferred system, or why we have 501c3s that we can get deductions, is that it fulfills a public purpose. It's just that for many of what we're used to as believers, we give to organizations that promote a public purpose, i.e. spiritual fulfillment, through nonprofits that build the kingdom of God. But there's other ones. There's Salvation Army. There's a ton of phenomenal organizations that do a lot of public good that we could give to as well. So the whole thing about the tax structure is that we can give to a strong public purpose and take a deduction in our estate plan. So this is, I've died, I have my will or my trust set up. That's a key point. And in that instrument, I have been generous to other organizations. So there is a tax advantage when a tax advantage needs to take place. If you do not take advantage of any of these opportunities, then guess what? Then your nonprofit becomes Washington State, because we didn't plan properly. We had over the amount of the exclusion. So the first 2.2 is excluded from taxes. And therefore, because we thought it was just going to work out, or we didn't take a moment to stop and actually get good counseling, now we're paying Washington State taxes. And most people that I talk to would probably agree, I've paid my fair share in taxes. So if there is a way that we can develop our estate plan to avoid unnecessary taxes, then I'm all in. So let's talk about it. Well, head over to legacyandfaith.com, and there's opportunities. Number one, we have all of our past podcasts there. We have upcoming educational sessions. They're constantly going on. And so head over to legacyandfaith.com. We can talk about what is necessary to not pay unwanted, unnecessary taxes and be generous for the building of the kingdom of God. That's a pretty good combination, in my opinion.
Okay, sounds like a great plan. Giving from an estate plan, our subject this week. How to do that? We'll continue with this discussion with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
I'm with co-host Mark Holland, the Legacy and Faith Show this week, looking at giving from an estate plan. And there's all kinds of biblical examples, I would assume, Paul, of giving at the time of our death. And
well, actually, believe it or not,
did they have estate tax issues to worry about in the Bible?
I'm not sure I see that issue going on in the Word. If there's ever a time that someone is listening to this show and you come up with an example that I may have missed, I would honestly and truly love for you to communicate with me. And that goes back to our website at legacyandfaith.com. There's an opportunity for you to click on the Communicate with Us button. And I would love to hear listeners' perspectives or listeners that are actually saying, "Hey, Paul, I think you may have missed this story where there is an example of blank." So I'm going to make a statement, and I'm trusting listeners to communicate with me if indeed this might be wrong. Okay, so we're going to lean upon the whole body so that I can get better as well as each other, which is, believe it or not, I really can't think or I don't see an example of clear biblical story of giving when someone has died, other than a very traditional inheritance, which is when somebody died, what they had went over to their children. But that's not the type of giving we're talking about. We're talking about giving that has an intentionality of fulfilling a distinct purpose. And so, so number one, we always go to Proverbs 13:22 when we talk about giving through estate planning. And 13:22 is, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. But this is really not talking about what our topic is today, which is, do we leave with intentionality to a specific purpose when we die? And so I've been
thinking, a purpose beyond just family.
Beyond just family, which is, this is, I believe, talking about family. And I think the scripture is clear that a good man leaves an inheritance to their children's children. It's staying within the bloodline again. And I have talked a little bit about that, which is, there needs to be purpose behind our giving. There needs to be a biblical view, a biblical purpose of why we leave our children our inheritance, not just to leave it to leave it. So I believe that's the way of the world, which is, I don't know what to do with my money, so it just goes to my kids, and if they blow it, I don't care because I'm dead. Well, I don't think that that theology or that mentality aligns with a biblical perspective on any realm. God is always a God of intentionality, and he is always intentional about building his kingdom. And so, therefore, we need to be intentional, even in our estate plan, about a biblical purpose of why we are passing our money to the next generation.
What about somebody, you said it implies you're a good person if you give it to your family. So what if you want to give it to everybody except your family?
Well,
is there something, because you know you don't like your family, and you're going to purposely give it to other purposes besides your family? Is there some kind of dereliction of duty there, do you think? Or
no, I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I pulled up a scripture here, and it's one of the few times that we see intentionality at death that deals with the blessing of God. And we have to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 48 when Israel was about to pass away. So he brings in Joseph, which is the youngest. So he goes out of order again. So this is all a phenomenal portrayal of Jesus being the last child, the last one to come out of heaven versus the first one, which is Adam. But Adam then gave his inheritance away to the enemy, right? So that's what the whole story of the garden is that he gave his inheritance to the enemy and committed treason against God. And that set up this fallen world. So that's why we need Jesus. And here we see that Joseph, the youngest one, before the other 12 were brought in, right? So the 12 tribes of Israel, and Joseph was to receive the blessing first. But then, also what happened, Ephraim and Manasseh, how do you say that? Manasseh, sure, we'll call him that. Well, I mean, there's probably 20 different ways to say his name. It's just if you say it fast, you're right. And in what we see is that Israel crossed his hands, and his right hand went to the youngest instead of the oldest. As a matter of fact, Joseph tried to intervene, and he goes, no, I know what I'm doing. The blessing is going to be reversed. The oldest is going to be blessed. And he's talking about the walk and the journey of Israel, is that it is going to be blessed, but the younger is going to receive the greater blessing. Now, this is all a portrayal of the new covenant. But here we see a very distinct blessing, a very distinct purpose at death. Shortly thereafter, he passed away. And so This really didn't have to do with the wealth that was received, but it had to do with the blessing and the anointing of God that was being received upon the purposes of God. And this is a clear example, I think, of really what we are to be biblically doing, which is laying out a strategy biblically of what is going to be blessed when we pass away. And so whether it is reversed, i.e. that we are going to speak into the kingdom of God versus give to our children, and that blessing is reversed, that is between, I believe, what you and God need to do. So communing with God, listening to what the Holy Spirit would say within you, and developing a strategic biblical plan instead of just simply saying, I'm going to develop a will and my kids are going to split it 50-50. That's a fantastic plan if that's what God has told you to do. But it is not a fantastic plan if that is just what you're going to default to. And so my encouragement, very much like what we see in Scripture, is we need to have a strategic plan. We need to have a plan that says, when I pass away, this is why I'm doing it. Can you communicate the vision that God has given you? And if you cannot, then it's not too late, because you're still breathing in and out, and you can still call my office or another attorney that you have a relationship with and communicate the passion and the vision that God has given within you. So is there a clear, distinct biblical story beyond maybe just a glimpse of what God's heart is within this story? I don't see a specific story that says, when I die, give it to blank so that God's purposes can be fulfilled. So again, listeners, if you know of a story that I am missing in the Old Testament that would actually give this a little more wings, please head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. Let me know. I want to learn and I want to see a more clear picture. But right now, really what I see is the heart of God versus a very specific purpose to say, I'm going to give to the building of the temple, or I'm going to give to whatever else was being done at the time in biblical times. So not a real strong biblical example that I have found that would demonstrate giving at death.
Okay. Well, let's move on then to the idea of tithing. Do you tithe out of that estate plan?
Yeah, I've heard this theory a lot as well. And so tithing. Now, tithing has a very specific spiritual purpose in our journey with God. Malachi, I think, gives us this insight. In Malachi, God says, why do you rob me? And the people come back and say, well, what have we robbed you of? And he says, you've robbed me of your tithes and offerings. And notice how it's both. It's not just one. Now, when we hear this story, we think God is ticked off and that he's, and that we're robbing him of the actual money portion. But if I'm not mistaken, God doesn't need our money. He is not after the actual check. As a matter of fact, I can't take it and walk it up the stairs of heaven and lay it at his throne and say, now go ahead and use my money as you want. No, we are confined to this earthly system. And a tithe then is building a boundary around what he has given in our hands so that he has the ability to bless it. So what was God being ripped off on? Well, he was being robbed of the ability to demonstrate his love and passion to his people, because if we do not set that what is properly God's between the tithe and the offering, then he does not have legal jurisdiction to then come into this earth realm and bless what is in under our domain and under our control. So therefore, the tithe is set up very specifically to bless what is under our dominion during our lifetime. So I really don't see a biblical setting, a biblical premise or principle that would say The tithe should be sent off of when I die. So when I die, I want to take 10% and give it to charity. Now, that would be a good thing if that is what God has told you, but it really should not be considered, quote unquote, a tithe. And I do hear many Christians come into my office talking about, I want to tithe off of my estate. Well, at the very beginning of the show, we talked about inheritors. So if you give something to your kids, then it would be appropriate because that is something that has come into their life, and now they need to set that spiritual boundary around what has now come into and under their dominion. They would be of wise counsel to tithe.
From an inheritance.
From an inheritance, mm-hmm. but not at the document level. It is a good thing. So if God has dropped in your heart, hey, give 10% to this and this and this, that is a beautiful thing. But I hesitate saying that there's a biblical or spiritual principle that would then allow us to say, this is a tithe. That should be the next generation's purpose. But in our purpose, we need to develop very similar to what Israel did back in Genesis, which is, I have a sense to do blank. I have a calling and a vision. I see something that God has told me to do. So therefore, I am going to set my heart to that purpose because I'm going to follow Him and I am going to believe He is going to bless it. And there is a kingdom purpose behind everything that I have received out of my heart. And so therefore, tithing out of the plan, really not a biblical principle, but tithing when it comes to the kids level, I believe that that is very scriptural.
Okay, some of the thoughts on giving from an estate plan this week with Paul Grant, estate and tax planning attorney. People have more questions about this subject or anything else. How do they find you? How do they get in touch with you?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. Our past podcasts are there. There's upcoming educational sessions, and you can contact us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.